never left.
Welcome to the Riding the Bench Eagles podcast. I am your host, Asif Badi, and I apologize for those of you who follow the show closely and have subscribed to the channel. It's been a while since I've posted an episode, and I apologize to you guys. It's just been busy on my side of things in the land of Long Island, New York. As a Philadelphia Eagle fan, I go to Stony Brook University. A lot of assignments have been piling up that I've had to take care of, but I'm able to squeeze out some time here to talk to you guys about the birds in the midnight green. And let's talk about some of the moves that Philadelphia has made over the past few weeks, past few days, right? They signed offensive tackle Jordan Mailata to an extension. He got the bag. But the main signing here that I want to talk about is Devontae Smith and Howie Roseman being able to sign for a 3-year, $75 million extension. And why it's such a good signing for us. The Slim Reaper is now going to be a Philadelphia Eagle for the foreseeable future, and we love the Slim Reaper here in Philadelphia. We hope he's an Eagle for life. The former Heisman Trophy winner has posted up really, really big-time numbers. I think he's had 1,000 yards in the back-to-back seasons, posted the rookie record for yardage as a rookie. You know, the Devontae Smith is sensational. He's basically a number one receiver, and we have him slotted at number two because of A.J. Brown. But the way I really want to talk about what Howie Roseman did with this contract, because the contract kind of brings a point that I wanted to highlight in regards to Howie Roseman. And I've been critical of Howie Roseman in the past in regards to some of the allocation of funds in terms of signing players. Like, I thought he's paid too much money for a guy like Saquon Barkley. In the past, I've been critical of him signing James Bradbury. I didn't think he was worth that kind of money. But one thing Howie Roseman generally does better than anybody else in the NFL, bar none, I think he's the best in the NFL, at finding loopholes in the cap and constructing contracts. Now, to me, in today's NFL, as a general manager, the most important skill, the most important ability to have as a general manager in today's NFL in particular is the ability to navigate the cap and construct contracts. Those are the most important skills. You can get away with scouting poorly because you could just sign really key veteran players to low-risk, high-reward deals. And I've been critical of Howie Roseman in the past in terms of his defensive drafts. I think he has a bit of a tough time in terms of identifying defensive personnel unless they're in the top 10. And, Howie Roseman has learned his lesson in terms of getting cute in the draft, and that's a good sign, and we hope he continues that trend. But being able to construct the contracts the way that he does, I mean, Devontae Smith doesn't, his extension doesn't kick in terms of making $25 million per year until 2026. So he's on this rookie contract for this year. We picked up his fifth-year option, and then in 2026, only then will the $25 million a year kick in. Right when the salary cap is going up, right when TV contracts are expected to, raise the cap space and all that stuff. That's also around the time where A.J. Brown's contract goes from $25 million a year down to a little bit lower, or at least that's where it begins. He's got one more at that point in 2026. He'll be making $25 million a year. And then after that, it goes down and down and down. So it's a beautifully orchestrated plan, a beautifully orchestrated contract from Howie Roseman. And kudos to him and Devontae Smith for getting it done, because it's an important signing that we've had to get done since the beginning of the offseason. And finally, we have that straightened out. So with that, I want to transition to the event that's coming up in the next couple of weeks in the NFL draft. Now, with all the signings that Howie Roseman has done, there still needs to be a lot of work done on the roster. And again, in the past, I'm critical of Howie Roseman and how he's addressed the draft on the defensive side of the ball. I've been critical of him because he usually, in my opinion anyway, he's had a tough time with defensive personnel, taking chances on a lot of guys, a lot of raw athletic guys, and some of these guys just not being able to pan out, and some of these guys kind of underperforming, whether it's injury or otherwise, right? This upcoming draft is unique because this is a very defensive-heavy draft. A lot of talented defensive players in this draft. Linebacker, corner, defensive line, you name it. All three levels of the defense are covered in this draft here. And you got offensive tackle, you got wide receivers, offensive linemen, all that stuff. There's a couple of players in the draft that I would like to, you know, highlight. And I'll talk about whether or not they fit in Philadelphia, whether they're good for us. Players that I would want Philadelphia to draft, because if we're going to go cornerback in the first round, which a lot of people seem to believe that's what we're going to do, although I don't necessarily believe that, that's neither here nor there. Let's assume for this exercise that Philadelphia is going to go ahead and draft a defensive back with their first pick. Okay? Who's the guy that we should bring? Well, let's talk about some of the top guys at that spot who might be available. I'm going to assume that, what's his name? Kevion Mitchell. Mitchell is his name. I can't pronounce his first name. I'm sorry, guys. It's late and I don't know how to say his name. So I'm going to call him Mitchell. That cornerback Mitchell is the top of the class, in my opinion. He probably will not be on the board by the time Philadelphia is able to make their pick. So I'm not going to include him in the discussion here. A guy that I may include in the discussion here, who I'm going to talk about, is Cooper DeJean. Now, he's the anomaly cornerback from Iowa State who, let's just face it, I've never seen a white cornerback before in my life. I just haven't. It really, really is an anomaly to me. It was like when some people saw Christian McCaffrey and didn't believe he was the best player in that draft. Hell, Christian McCaffrey is one of the best players I've ever seen. Put on a pair of football pads. I don't care that he's white and he's playing running back. You're either good at football or you're not. Cooper DeJean is along the same breath in that I don't care whether or not he's white. It just is eye-popping that he is white. I've never seen it before, so it does catch your eye. But can the guy play? And in general, I'm going to say yes, the guy can play. I don't think he's a scrub by any means. And why people believe Philadelphia has the ability to draft him is, one, he will be available at that spot, most likely. But it's also the style of play that Cooper DeJean has. He tends to play, again, he's asked to do this in Iowa, this really off-zone coverage that he seems to play. He gives the wide receiver a lot of space to operate underneath, and Cooper DeJean, with his savvy, with his awareness and his intellect, tends to be able to meet receivers at the top of the route and being able to break up passes. That's kind of his game. To me, his straight line speed going north and south is pretty damn good for any cornerback. Any routes that kind of involve one cut, like slants, flats, digs, posts, flies, those type of routes. Cooper DeJean is really, really good at covering those types of routes because of his ability to just close it on the ball. And his straight line speed, in my opinion, he's savvy enough to know that if someone's faster than him, he's going to give enough cushion, just enough cushion where he's able to make a play on the ball. And in Vic Fangio's schemes, you need a cornerback, or I shouldn't say you need a cornerback. The cornerbacks in that scheme tend to have to play off these wide receivers. Give them a lot of space underneath, not give up the big play, and trust that the rest of your defense can help you support underneath in the zone. Cooper DeJean does that in the college level. Do I believe it's going to translate into the NFL where he's going to be able to match up with some of the better receivers in the National Football League? No. I don't. I think his lateral quickness is just not desirable. I don't believe he's able to cover high quality receivers in the National Football League. Hell, you looked at him in college and some of the receivers that he played, I don't think it was necessarily the greatest competition in the world. And you put him up against some of the better wide receivers in the nation, I thought he struggled a little bit. He also tends to give up a lot of catches, according to some of the numbers. I think he gave like 50% of the targets that were thrown his way, he gave up catches. So, you know, that's not necessarily the greatest stat per se. But again, style of play, he's asked to play that way. I'm not going to kill him for that. Again, routes that involve double moves, or anybody who's a little bit on the quicker side of things, I don't think Cooper DeJean's going to be able to stay in front of these guys. And that, to me, is problematic because me, as a football fan, I like cornerbacks who are really, really good and who are really, really good in being able to cover stride for stride. I like press man corners. I like guys who can get up in your grill and shut you down and close off half the field. That's kind of my style of cornerback. I like cornerbacks like that. And there's a couple of guys in the draft here who I think would be available at 22 who could potentially give you that. One more so than the other. So let's talk about the lesser of the two, in my opinion, in Kool-Aid McKinstry. I think this kid from Alabama has that dog in him. He's certainly a physical player. He's certainly a good athlete. Ran a 4.440 at the combine with a Jones fracture in his foot, which is maddening. I mean, being able to run 4.4 at any point is impressive. But on a Jones fracture, that's next level shit. He's got long arms, really, really good athletically, not afraid to tackle, really good ball skills, and he comes from a program like Alabama, SEC, big-time football programs. You know he's playing some of the best wide receivers in the nation. And when you're being coached up at Alabama, you know you're coming in with a little bit of a – what's the word? I guess a little bit of a thicker skin than most. When you come to a place like Philadelphia, if they choose to draft a cornerback at 22 and it becomes Kool-Aid McKinstry, he's a guy that is going to have enough thick skin to be able to handle the heat in Philadelphia. And he's got enough of that, you know, that rah-rah, that dog in him, where C.J. Gardner-Johnson and him might get along pretty damn well. Because Kool-Aid McKinstry can play the run pretty well. He's really good in the pass. You can blitz him. He's not afraid to tackle. He's physical. He's fast, right? A little bit on the raw side. But, again, with Vic Fangio, you would assume that a guy like that can be coached up. And I wouldn't be disappointed in picking Kool-Aid McKinstry at 22. But I do think there is a player who would be available, in my opinion, at that spot that would fit in Philadelphia like a glove. And that's not other than Nate Wiggins from Clemson, the cornerback. I watched this dude play, man. I love me some Nate Wiggins. I really, really do. You want to talk about a cornerback who could be shut down, who can lock your ass up? That's that guy. Nate Wiggins, outside of Mitchell, in my opinion, is probably the best prospect at cornerback in this draft. I think his ability to cover, his speed, his length, the edge that he plays with, the discipline, the ability to just be physical at the point of attack. He can cover man. He can cover zone. He's got enough foot speed. He's got enough makeup speed in case he does get burned. He has athletic ability to make up ground and make the play on the ball. Nate Wiggins, to me, would be a perfect fit in Philadelphia because he would bring not only tenacity, he would bring a great coverage guy. He'd be a great player who's able to play the ball. And in a division that has a lot of in a conference that has some of the, you know, higher quality receivers in the NFL, like Cooper Kupp, Nakua, CeeDee Lamb, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin twice a year. I'm telling you, there's a lot of receivers in the NFC that you're going to have to be able to match up against. Nate Wiggins has the ability to match up stride for stride with some of these guys in the NFL. And in college, hell, in 2022 and 23. In 2023, I think he gave up only like 31 catches. that whole year. And then the year after that, in 2022, he gave up 18 catches for 176 yards and a touchdown in the 12 games that he started. If that don't scream shutdown to you, I don't know what will. And to me, a quarterback who not only can shut down a field, can shut down a player like that, but when quarterbacks and offenses tend to avoid throwing your way, you have completely changed the math on the defensive side of the ball. Nate Wiggins has that ability. So if Philadelphia were to decide to go for cornerback at pick 22, he's the guy that I would try to get after. I just think that if Nate Wiggins is available on the board, if you believe that you wanted to take an offensive tackle or a linebacker, you need to forget that for a moment and get a guy like Nate Wiggins. I think the kid's sensational. I really, really do. I think he'd fit in Philadelphia like a glove. Lastly, let me talk about one more thing before we get out of here. What I believe Philadelphia's actually going to do. At pick 22, I don't believe they're going to go cornerback. Because we have Isaiah Rodgers, Darius Slay, Kelee Ringo, Eli Ricks, and James Bradbury, I don't anticipate them going to draft another young cornerback to fill the room. We signed Bryce Huff, we signed Nolan Smith, and we have the guys on the defensive line. So the idea that people think that, hey, we might go edge, we might go defensive line. While, yes, that's something that Howie Roseman has done in the past, it's also, like, how many more pass rushers do you need here? Right? We drafted Nolan Smith in the first round for a reason last season. You got Bryce Huff and got Hassan Reddick out of the building for a reason. You re-signed Josh Sweat. You kept Brandon Graham. You kept Carter, Jordan Davis, Milton Williams, Moro Ojomo, right? That's a good rotation of guys here. You could draft another edge like Chop Robinson if you really, really want to. I wouldn't complain about it because I think Chop Robinson is an athletic freak of nature, a mini version of Michael Parsons in terms of his ability to get after the quarterback. Will he be as good? No, probably not. But Chop Robinson can play. I say all that to say that I believe the direction that Philadelphia is going to go in the first round is offensive tackle. Again, Lane Johnson is getting a year older. We lost Jason Kelsey. Last year we lost Isaac Seumalo. And we're going to have some questions on the offensive side of the ball, on the offensive line here. We signed Jordan Mailata. We re-signed Landon Dickerson. Cam Jurgens, we believe, is going to play center. And while it will be a transition from playing guard to center and replacing, you know, Jason Kelsey with Cam Jurgens, we believe in Cam Jurgens' ability to play football. And then obviously you have Lane Johnson on the right side. And then there's a vacant spot at the right guard. And, you know, a guy like Tyler Steen could step in and play that role. Who knows? I just think Howie Roseman and this Philadelphia Eagles organization is really looking ahead for the year 25, 26, 27. And if that's the case, you could draft an offensive tackle at 22. You really, really could. And I feel like that's the direction that this team is going to go towards. And the guy that I believe that Philadelphia is going to go after at 22, it's one of two players. Now, it kind of depends on whether or not these guys will fall in the draft. But a guy like J.C. Latham from Alabama is a person who might fall. Who knows? I doubt it. But the guy that I believe may be available to us at that pick is Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. Now, the guy is a physical, athletic freak of nature. I'm going to pull up some of the measurables that this guy got. He's 6'8", 322 pounds. He ran a what? A 5'1", 940. That's pretty damn good for an offensive lineman. So the guy can run. He's athletic. He's strong. He's big. he could be the perfect candidate for Stoutland University. And Oklahoma has a good history of, I believe, a good history of developing and bringing in offensive linemen. I believe, you know, plenty of players in the NFL come from Oklahoma who are on the offensive side, who are on the offensive line. Again, not that that's necessarily a prerequisite to why you should draft him, but it's the type of mold that Howie Roseman would want in a young, raw, athletic player from a big football program. Right? You look at up and down this roster, up and down this team, unless you're an established veteran, most of the guys are from Georgia, from Ole Miss, Michigan, Alabama, Texas, East Illinois. Some big, big, big football program. And why not? Why deviate from what you felt has been working for the past 2 or 3 years? They believe in the young core. They believe in some of the guys. And why not place your faith in a guy like Jeff Stoutland? You saw the work that he did with Jordan Mailata. The guy didn't know how to put on a damn football helmet and is now probably a top 2 or 3 left tackle in the NFL. Jeff Stoutland is true. Jeff Stoutland University is an absolute premium institution of knowledge. And when you bring in an offensive guy like Tyler Guyton, a raw, purebred athlete, and you pair him with a guy like Stoutland, you got the future of the offensive line here. It's a young, ascending unit, and it will be around again for another 10 years. And that is the backbone of Philadelphia on the offensive side of the ball. Having that offensive line, having Jeff Stoutland here as the run game coordinator, as the offensive line coach. To me, the player that this team is going to go after is offensive tackle Tyler Guyton. I believe that's the pick we're going to see in this year's upcoming draft for the Philadelphia Eagles. But again, we'll get into that in another episode. We'll talk more solely about the NFL draft at a different time. On that note, I'm going to call it a night, man. I'm recording this pretty late, but this has been a really, really good offseason for Howie Roseman. Again, I disagree with the Saquon signing, but I love what he's done on the defensive side of the ball. I love the Bryce Huff signing. I love the Gardner Johnson signing. I love Devin White signing. I love the fact that we got younger, more athletic, cheaper on the defensive side of the ball, while also being able to bring in guys like Dickerson, like Smith once again for contract extensions, re-signing Jordan Mailata. It's good work by Howie Roseman. And now we're in a position here where if he nails the draft, particularly the first 3 picks of this draft, he in one offseason could have potentially flipped the script of this defense in Philadelphia. Right now, there's only one thing left to do. We have to wait and find out and see what will Howie Roseman do. Hey, you got through a full episode of the Riding the Bench Eagles podcast. Thank you for watching. If you want to support the channel, hit the like and subscribe button below. You can also check us out on Instagram at the Riding the Bench Podcast with a K instead of C in the word podcast. And also check us out on audio platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it, we're on there. All that is in the description below. Please come back next time for the Riding the Bench Eagles podcast. Thanks for listening.